Monster Man, episode 221, Mastiff Comma Shadow, and Mistu. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're going to be continuing our journey through the M chapter of Monster Manual 2, 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. But before we do that, it's time to thank some new Patreon supporters. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. Depending on the level of support that you choose, you'll be able to enjoy some extra bonus content. There are periodic bonus episodes for subscribers at all levels. If you subscribe at the $2 level or higher, you'll get my other podcast, Patron Deities, which is about the Deities and Demigod supplement, and we're currently doing a series on Celtic mythology. And at a $5 pledge, you'll also get the opportunity to choose a monster for a special episode. So thank you very much to Edwin Nagy, Only the Best of the Cheapest, and Noah Green. I really appreciate your support. If you'd like to support the show, but you can't or don't want to make a pledge on Patreon, another way that you can do it is by leaving a review or rating on the podcast app of your choice. Just go ahead and give us a rating. I recommend a 5-star rating, but, you know, it's up to you. All right, our first monster for today is the Mastiff, Shadow. Now, these are just what they sound like. They're big shadow dogs, and they come from the Plane of Shadow. Boo. I shouldn't boo the Plane of Shadow. There's nothing wrong with the Plane of Shadow, but I'm perfectly happy with them just being made out of living shadow or something. But they're pretty good monsters. They're stealthy. After they attack, they still have a chance to kind of fade into the shadows and not be seen, but they're vulnerable in bright light, and they have an ability to bay and frighten people, which is also good. That's stuck onto the end of a section about what you will find in their lairs, which is not so useful. Again, as I said a few episodes ago, it'd be really handy if all of the information about the monster's capabilities were, you know, in the same place. But this is a pretty minor nitpick on what is essentially a good, solid utility black dog monster. I've talked before, we had a special episode on devil dogs or black dogs, and in fact, we had a good example of this earlier in this book with the Grimm. And in fact, we're going to talk about the Grimm again in another couple of episodes when we get to the Moon Dog. Anyway, the Mastiff Comma Shadow is pretty good. You can definitely see a bunch of them being, you know, the hunting pack of some horrid creature, a lich or even a shadow, indeed. The baying is more frightening, depending on how many Mastiffs there are, which I think is a pretty good idea. It expresses a game concept in a mechanical way, but doesn't take a whole bunch of space or effort doing it. And I really like monsters that have some non-combat related vulnerability. In this case, like the Mastiff Comma Shadow's vulnerability to bright light. Because what this does is it gives people something to do that isn't just the thing that they always do. You know, it's not a question of making the non-combat focused characters more useful, although it certainly does do that, and that is certainly a good thing. One of the problems with D&D and similar fantasy games where characters have sort of like lists of defined abilities is that unless the GM is creative in constantly creating new and interesting situations, you wind up with the characters kind of falling into a routine. Once you get to a certain level, chances are that you know what like your best spells are, and there are some that are applicable in different situations, but usually you've got one particularly strong one. Similarly, when it comes to a toe-to-toe fight, typically your fighter character is going to be saying every round something more or less like, I hit it with my longsword. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You can certainly have a characterful conflict where the PC's tactical actions are basically the same, you know, depending on the other choices that they're forced to make. But it's nice to have a monster that rewards experimentation of this kind during combat. And particularly if you're playing with a mixture of characters who are more and less combat effective, then, you know, maybe you're not really tough enough to take on a Shadow Mastiff, but all you have to do is, you know, get the lantern and shine a bright light on it, and then you'll be helping. It's entirely possible that I have called it a Shadow Mammoth at least once in this episode. You know, I'll find out during editing, but this is because I was once in a game where a friend of mine was playing a character who had the power to create sort of constructs out of shadow. And at one point, he summoned, like, this shadowy mammoth, and he said... He was very good at kind of like villain monologuing and things like that. And as he was doing this, you know, he's chanting whatever incantation, and he ends by going, "Obey me, Shadow Mammoth." I think I wasn't even there for this scene. It just took on a folkloric quality in our gaming group. And so I've heard it told so many times that it's as though I were there. But what everyone heard him say was, "Baby Shadow Mammoth." So I will always think of the Shadow Mastiff as being like the baby Shadow Mammoth. Next up, we have the Mistu. Now, the Mistu is a kind of mist creature. It's basically another form of elemental. And it has a couple of different attacks. So one thing it can do is manifest some solid razor-tipped tentacles to lash at you with. And it can sort of engulf people in the mist and drain them of their life essence. They lose constitution, and when their constitution gets to zero, they die. Because it's a mist, it can also kind of flow and change its form, and it sometimes changes its form in order to look like a spooky ghost and, you know, scare nosy humans away from its lair. This is slightly weird, as I think, you know, I haven't got out Monster Manual 1 to check this out, but I reckon that appearing in the form of a ghost means that the Mistu is impersonating a monster that is rather less dangerous than it is. It also says that they sometimes work for magic users in exchange for rewards of magical items. It's quite hard to see what the Mistu is going to do with one of these magical items, mainly because we don't know anything else about it. I wrote in my notes here that it feels like the Mistu needs either more or less work. If we're going to have all of this stuff about, well, I say all of this stuff, a sentence or two, about how it works for magic users and like it has an agenda and it scares people away from its lair, then we need to know what its deal is, what its motivations are, why it comes to this plane. Why, if it is collecting magical items, why? Because that's become a monster that we can engage with and try to figure out what it wants and either give it that so it goes away or deny it that because it's bad. Alternatively, if the Mistu is just going to be like, well, we wanted to make a group of air elementals that were a bit different so that not every air elemental fight is exactly the same, then that also makes sense, but it doesn't need to have the stuff about magic items, and it probably doesn't need to pretend to be a ghost to scare people because it's scary already, and it just kind of looks like a mist. Like, surely it could just pretend to be a mist. So I feel like you can either kind of dial the Mistu up or down in terms of the amount of detail that you want to go into it, but right now it's a kind of an awkward place in the middle where it's neither really a completely developed monster nor a simple utility fight monster. But again, I think this is something that would be very straightforward to change in terms of how the Mistu is presented, so I think it's okay. I do think there's something about the lashing tentacles that looks a bit daft. You know, if you're going to be an air creature, you should have, like, cloudy tendrils rather than just out of this cloud spring four pretty material tentacles. Kind of an odd one. I don't know if this comes from somewhere, actually, whether it's a creature that was created for a D&D scenario or that actually comes from some piece of folklore. My guess is that not that second part, because it'd be very rare to have something where, like, the name sounded exactly so right. Anyway, the Mistu isn't bad, and I'm not saying I would never use it, just it either needs to be just another type of elemental, or it needs a little bit more development. But I don't think it would be hard to do more development. Alright, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be moving on through the M chapter and looking at the minor and the minimal on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.